Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Game. I'm an SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us. We have a talk cast every Thursday starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com. Search for Quality 17702 or Starfleet Universe On Call or SFU On Call. And you will find us there. But if you want the ultimate experience online, you need to go to twitch.tv. Yes, go over to twitch.tv/SFU On Call. You'll see my lovely face, hear my wonderful voice, and at the same time actually chat with your buddies, because you know that they have a nice chat room there, and Lord knows sometimes the topic there is what I'm talking about, sometimes it's not. So moving onward, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow me on Twitter while it still exists, my account there is sfuoncall. Also, my personal account, which is Paul Franz, P-A-U-L-F-R-A-N-Z. And, of course, my business account, which is Franz Games, F-R-A-N-Z-G-A-M-E-S. And of course, the lovely TalkCast gets into a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news. I spelled this wrong. Warehouse 23 is now on Shopify. I put down here Spotify, but it's actually Shopify. So if you have, if you used to be on where are, well, if you're a Warehouse 23 customer, you have an account there and so forth. All you need to do is create a new account with the same email address, and you will have everything transferred over from the old warehouse to the new one. Now, also, some sad news. Jonathan Thompson has been transferred to the Black Fleet. You know, he has died, basically. And he worked on many of the PD-20M products, so you know he'll be definitely sorely missed. Moving onward to SFB Online Tournament, we have Sapphire Star 13 tournament signups are still open. We're waiting for 6 more people to sign up before we can start this wonderful tournament. I am signed up already, and of course, I'm hoping just to get past the first round because I've yet to get past the second round. I'll have to wait and see. I always like goofy ships, so no, I'm not going to take like the Zinni. Well, maybe one of these days I'll take the Zinni. You know, it's nice ship, large, you know, maybe I have a better chance going with them. Moving onward to the online client stuff, actually, not much going there. I did do some minor modification in the past week. One thing I did work on when it comes to the client itself was actually to get rid of the send feedback button to make it just another icon with, you know, the tooltip. If you hover over it, the tooltip says send feedback. So, and that's for within the game itself. Outside the game, you'll still have the, you know, the big send feedback buttons for the chat rooms and things like that. So that won't disappear. That won't change. But I figured, you know, that I want to have it so that the toolbar is smaller and more concise and so forth, and not have this big blob button on the one side of it. So I changed that. So I think that looks much better than it did when it comes to icons. I'm gonna be working on another feature which was recommended by Frank LeMay. I think Frank LeMay, if I got that right. And it's just adding 2 buttons. Basically, it's mainly for SFB fleet battles. Idea the 2 buttons were for ECM modifications. It might be actually 1 button and be like the tractor button that we have for the game control, where we have the tractor button actually prompts you, says, okay, what do you want to do? Are you doing this or are you doing this? Which is attaching or releasing. Which action are you doing? I might be doing exactly the same thing. That is, Lent, saying Lent or our actual ECCCM. So that's one thing I should be working on this weekend. I wanted to get this thing out the door, but I keep on adding these little things here. I got to sit down and just ship it. That's what I got to do. But moving on to the library report, nothing much is going to happen when it comes to the SFB library. It's been quiet, no updates and so forth. But I've been busy little bee. I spent actually a good day, part of the day on Monday working on getting the Federation Commander library, get the ship, the cards that had been submitted to me, but I had just never gotten around to actually adding them to the library. I've actually added them to the library. So at this point, and this is, I still got a few more to do, but I will get them done. There's a light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not an oncoming train. That's good to hear. And that is going to be currently the squadron size ships. There's 581, and the fleet size ships is up to 475. So that's quite a bit more than we had previously. So it's always good to see that number go up, and soon we'll have all of the cards that were implemented out there. Hopefully there aren't any issues. Obviously, if there are issues, please tell me immediately. Please do. When it comes to those cards. So with that is the news for this week. Yes, and only old Paul Friends welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, well, you got me. And actually, we have Doug here too. Hey, Doug, how you doing?
Alrighty, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Yeah, I've been working, you know, this past week, actually on the online client some, implementing, well, one, fixing some things I broke. As I'm trying to implement certain things, in this case, I broke like the single player mode of the client. So it's like, whoops, I did not mean to do that. And then I realized that I broke it one way, then I broke it another way. It's like, ugh, freaking mess. Actually, honestly, the one thing which was just closing the game window for one of the games, I'm not sure, to be honest. I am not sure if that ever worked. Because I'm looking at it going, this might have been broken all along. I never knew it. Because I don't think it's been a while since I've looked at it. You know, so it might have been broken all along for all I know. I haven't checked the... I really haven't had the gumption to actually go and download the currently released version of the client, install that and run that and see what happens. I have not had the gumption to actually do that because it's one of those, to me, it's more a curiosity question more than like, so it's kind of a waste of time overall to do that. So it's like, well, I'll just skip it. The important thing is that it's fixed now. For the current one that's going to be released hopefully soon, they do a minor bit of work on the toolbar so that the toolbar looks better now, both in horizontal and vertical. I still want to do a little more tweaking on that. So, should be interesting. I'm also thinking about redoing the toolbar. I haven't figured out exactly how I want to do that yet, because of I'm not sure how many people actually use the toolbar at the moment, use the features that are there. I know me, I use them every so often. The one I definitely use the most is just the one which is to announce the, when it comes to SFB, to announce the speeds and the ECM, you know, as the beginning of the turn. So that's what it will do. So I use that button all the time. Do I use, for anything else, I might use it for turning on and off the hexes, but that's about it, you know. So that's always a question, which is, if I remove these, what will happen? Will people scream or what? You know, so I know that there's always the possibility of letting people actually configure their own toolbar. You know, okay, I want this feature, this feature, this feature, this for all the rest, forget it. You know, in theory, I can do that, but I have to wait on that one.
You're probably better off leaving it as it is then.
Yeah, because the only thing I'm thinking about possibly adding is, because one thing I would like to do is, I understand that the game control window that I currently have in the client, that one does, it's quite usable, it's quite nice to be able to control everything from that one window. But the question for me is, Do I want that to be the main window or not? Basically, the main way of controlling the pieces, or do I want it to have it so that you click it, you know, you might select what ship you want to move and then move that ship. Or you want to change the speed for a bunch of fighters, you go click and drag and you select a bunch of fighters and then you change the speed for those fighters. You know, things like that, you know, where all the actions, everything else is done directly on the board with the possibility of some additional functionality either on the left side of the board or the right side of the board, you know. So, that, you know, another one of those things in an effort to modernize the client some, at least the look and feel. To it, you know.
Well, here's the thing. If you want to have the modernized version of it, I would say the more options you have for customizing the look, I mean, you start off with the base of here's how it is for everyone at the start when they download it and they open it up and install it and stuff. But the more options you have to set it your own way so it can, you know, be customized, that's really a good thing. I mean, if you have it set up so it can be used as is, that's good. But also, you know, everybody's going to have their slightly different, I like this part size that way, I like this thing over there kind of setup. And I'm like that with, of the two games I mostly play, that, you know, one lets me customize it 9 ways to Sunday, and the other one is like, oh, heck no. Thing pops up here, that's it.
No. Right.
But the one that lets me customize everything, I mean, I like that. I like that a lot. But on the other hand, I could play it as is if I had to.
Right. Understood. And obviously, the tough part about customizations itself is just that customizations always are difficult. To have it so that you can, because it's not just putting that panel someplace. It's connecting up the back end to it. And, you know, like, let's say that, you know, that you want a list, you know, the list of ships off on the right hand, as a, like, right hand panel on, you know, next to the board. You have to make sure that panel then makes sure that it gets updated when something else happens outside of that panel. So, okay, let's get the notification. Okay, this ship disappeared. Make sure that you connect that all up and all that kind of fun stuff. All the notification stuff is always a pain in the butt. Because UI is easier to develop what it looks like and harder to make sure that the functionality actually works. But you know, I'm still I'm open to suggestions. Obviously, suggestions that are helpful. Because as I mentioned many times before. Wow. Sorry, I was looking at the chat room at over on TalkShoe and realized Dave said something about Omega. But getting back to it, because the original, starting out this effort is like, oh, what are the things I liked about it? It was actually the topic on the discussion board was, I tried it, didn't like it when it comes to clients. One of the things was, it needs to be more modernized. That means nothing to me. What you think is modernized, when you talk about modernized, what do you think? It's like, give me an example of a game that you think is a modern UI. Some along those lines that drove me crazy for a bit of time. What was one of the things? Don't mind me.
You know what? I think what you're hitting is a loggerhead, and the key thing is ultimately form should follow function. I mean, the game is what it is, but it's a board game simulator. So, it's not a 3D fly around shooty space game.
Right. Well, that's.
I think the most you're going to get out of it as far as modernizing is really just having an adjustable UI that maybe you could have a tutorial through.
Mm-hmm.
Very much what you have is quite sufficient.
Right. Oh, yeah. But
making it flashier, that matter, sitting down and doing the art stuff. And, I'd rather sit down and do that for an afternoon sometime than try to do it over the phone without the thing up in front of me much, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Understood. Yeah, then comes, of course, the question on that is, where do you go when it comes to, again, it's a board game, it's turn-based, it's not going to be a lot of animation, it's not going to be like Starfleet Command, where it's going to be a real-time simulation. No, it's going to be turn-based and so forth. But the question then comes into being is, which way do you go? Do you lean on this is computerized version of SFB to a certain degree? Obviously, the one thing that I've not done is like implement the rules of SFB. Never plan to. Don't have no urge to. If I've been working on it for the past 15 years, I might have completed it. Might have, because the rules stop expanding. So that would be the only way that happened. Or do you lean on the tabletop aspect to it? Meaning that it looks more like a tabletop game versus a more a modern computer game.
Have you ever downloaded Puerto Rico? Or got the CD? I have the CD for that.
No.
Because it's an older game that kind of leans in a direction of where you're going with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it has a specific layout for the game, but it also has a 3D option that, it's the same game, it's the same play, it just looks different. But on the other hand, the most you might be looking at with this would be, do you want to have it, do you want to have it look like you have counters? Do you want to have it look like you have miniatures on there and have those moving around?
Mm-hmm.
I guess that would probably be it when you go to the going for the tabletop look. I mean, do you want to have a game that looks like you're sitting at the table, or do you want to have a game that here's your map and here's, what you have basically counter representation on it and it's functional. Because I think it would be a monster effort to try and code in all the rules for SFB to have so you can maybe solo play against the AI or something like that.
Right. Agree, agreed
But what
there.
you have is basically, you guys are putting the input in, is my understanding, not the game is doing all of it for you.
Right, the only thing is there,
I'm
it has minor, rule implementations, i.e., like it will tell you if you try to turn do a mid-turn speed change for your speed plot too soon. It will give you a warning. It's a warning. If you want to, you can go, okay, ignore it. I know better. This is a special ship that you don't know about that can change every fourth impulse or something along those lines that is just not implemented. But you can still do it. It won't say, okay, you can't do it. It just will, show it up in red and so forth because it's a warning. And of course, then there's the one thing that definitely is implemented is, big surprise, energy allocation. It's a big calculator. So you have to put in the numbers and this, make sure that you're not spending more than you actually have when it comes to amount of power. Now, when it comes to power, you can adjust the power itself, the power numbers at the top. You can change it because it's autofill. The whole thing there, of course, is for if you're playing an Orion, you double one of the engines. Okay, you double one of the engines. Starfleet Battles doesn't know about that. Well, the client does not know about, oh, you're doubling one engine. You can not mark it as a note, but it doesn't really understand that. So then you can actually go in and say, okay, well, instead of having only 24 power, I've got 36 power. More power because I'm doubling what like my right engine and so forth. So you can do that. But the energy allocation you have to have so that you don't spend more than you actually have. So that's the only kind of implementation of the rules that the SFB part of the client has. Now, that was one thing that I learned from implementing. I did implement quite a few of the rules when it comes to the weapons for Federation Commander. It will automatically do say, okay, if you're at this instance in time, okay, what's the status of your weapon? Okay, what can I do? Can I increase the status of the weapon from preloaded to completely loaded? Or whatever, and how much would that cost when it comes to the energy? And is it possible to do at this moment in time? I implemented that. Now, I'm very proud of that, but at the same time, it was a first go around. I've talked about this before, which is that on the go around, the tough part about that and me implementing that is that if I get it wrong and I've gotten it wrong, then there's no way to correct it. It ruins the game if you implement the rules and enforce the rules. Versus, that's one thing I had to add into the client, which was okay, you can do this, and then it allows you to actually modify, correct the actual amount of power that the ship actually has. So, oh yeah, I forgot about that, Chris. Thanks for reminding me. Which is when it comes to SFB, there's one other minor implementation of the rules, which is that if they execute a segment, impulse segment, which like to say that you did fire a fire decision segment, you can't go back on that same impulse and go, okay, now I want to launch something. No, you can't do that. And that, and SFB won't allow you to go backwards in the segments for that impulse. Yeah. So enforce that. Eh. Chris, it doesn't really enforce movement. It just, it bugs you about it. So are you sure you want to do that? And you say yes, and then it'll let you go. But you know, it does give you warnings. It does, you know, those kind of things, which is not, in my mind, it tries to be helpful when it comes to what it says. It helps you play the game, at least at the basic level, without you know, accidentally cheating. You know? And so I think that the client is better. It's been, I definitely, since I started the project 2 years ago, is it 2 years ago? Or is it just like goes even longer than that? Yeah, that's not, it was around 2 years ago. I can't believe it's only been 2 years. Sorry, it's just shocking. It's only been 2 years. When I started the project, now I feel like that I've actually implemented some. I've trimmed down things. I've removed things that no longer really were used that much. I don't, or at least I don't know if they were ever used, you know. So I removed them because I thought, I don't think anyone uses this. So I removed it, and I haven't heard anyone scream. So I assume that it's not being used. That's the only way I can really tell at the moment, that if you use something and you don't want it removed, you need to tell me. Or at least, you know, as soon as I remove it, tell, you know, scream bloody murder and go, why did you remove that feature? I used it all the time. You know? So. But, you know, it's moving forward slowly but surely, you know. Moving on to another topic. Let me think about this for a moment. I know we've got, actually it's kind of sad in my mind with Your Turn Cafe is kind of closing and just turning into a GameStop, a game store, correct? That's my understanding. What's happening? Yeah.
Kind of yes, kind of no. They basically couldn't come to an agreement on their current lease, so they are leaving that location, and they'll be opening up at like a farmer's market, which won't be open every day. It's
right.
It's like going to probably be just mainly a week thing and a limited weekday.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be focused on selling product, not food.
Right.
So that's my understanding of what they've said so far, what the guy told me in person and so on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
Saturday they have a huge sale.
Right.
If you're in the area, they're not doing any online sales, and they're not letting anybody reserve anything. You know, according to them, I mean, I asked him for the details on all this, and he did update his link, his posting on the South Central PA Gamers Convention website, or on our Facebook thread, I should say. And essentially, what it comes down to is he has a list of games posted through BoardGameGeek.com. But they're not selling everything on the list. That just gives you a really good idea of what all they have. And he said most of the stuff on the list will be for sale, but not all of the stuff on the list. So I'm not going to be able to make... Say that again?
Are they going to sell the Napoleon games? The one that you're interested in?
Oh, yeah. It's like... That will probably be there. It was unpunched. It was unopened, actually.
I know.
Still in the Wrap. That's one I think you and Barry and Erica would probably like. It's area, like theater-based area warfare game for the Napoleonic area.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, it's not as long numbers of turn-wise as, say, A House Divided, mm-hmm. which you watched Barry and I play at one of the conventions. But there's a lot, apparently, just watching a Let's Play on it, there's a lot that goes on each turn, so right. to speak. So there's looks pretty engaging and interesting. And I told her that, and maybe Carcassonne would be good for the kids. Maybe give them an incentive mm-hmm. to make a space to play games here instead of, like, not cleaning. You know what I mean.
I know what you mean, dude. I know what you mean, and Lord knows. Oh, don't get me started. Really, don't get me started.
Yeah.
I know what
so
I would
anyway,
do.
I'm not going to make it.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not going to make it to the sale. Eric stop by. I think maybe for a little bit.
Yeah.
But who knows? But if you're in the area, it could be worth your drive.
Oh, understood. Yeah. The problem is, I don't think I'm going to be able to make it. Just because of, I got something going on Saturday morning from 8 till 12. So.
Oh, yeah.
And I got.
Yeah. I know I'm not going to be having the car that day because she's going out to do stuff during the day and then taking one of the guys to, I think it's like an Arrow Light dinner thing in the Cub Scouts where they move up and I'll be watching the other little guy.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Because he's not going to that.
Right. Understood.
Yeah. He gets to live vicariously through the kids. That's basically.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's all I got on that. I haven't really done much as far as like getting the location locked down or putting a thing up. Maybe I'll do that in the next week or two. Put a, GoFundMe up for Gamers of Summer / Winter and see how much interest there is for Gamers of Summer. I mean, the poll is still up there. The percentages are leaning towards not running it
mm-hmm.
for Gamers of Summer.
Right. Oh, yeah, I can understand.
It's like...
Yeah, because, as you pointed out previously, the tough part is Labor Day weekend.
It's always been about 20% less as far as attendance go, and it's like, I don't know. I'm thinking about just running the next winter one.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that.
Understood.
But yeah, that's kind of all I have on that side of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment.
No, oh, understood. Yeah, what did I see? Ah, crap. I know that Gene was part of, there it is, the company weblog. Did not even read that. I missed that today, which was they finished the PDF version of Gunboat's Attack. And gave a printout to Gene and Al said they could check for font anomalies before it's uploaded. And there was a meeting on R1 with Mr. Petrick, who said all the reports are finished and he's just chasing down the annexes. And Al is going to do the final page layout and Steve Cole was giving a list of art he needs to round up and send to Al. So it's good to see that the Gunboat's Attack is going to be coming out soon. Sounds like. Yep, they've already they got counters for Gunboat's Attack done and checked. Art for the cover, sent to Simone, which is good. So they're just proofreading. One thing, I'm not sure if you know this, Doug, which is ADB you know, they do a print on demand. They've been doing print on demand for years, ever since they took over the distribution rights for SFB, you know, when i.e. Task Force Games closed shop completely, and anything and everything that the Task Force Game, any product that they had, which was in a locker somewhere, he gave to Steve Cole, basically. So they've been using they've been using Kyoceros, laser printers. They print really fast, you know. And it's just mentioned here, the to-do list, which is buy or at least a new Kyocera printer, you know. There's obviously there's good things about buying a printer versus leasing. You know, it's one time upfront cost and you can use it all you want. You have to, of course, with leasing, you have to get the constant payment, but also automatically with a leasing of a printer, what you have is a a maintenance. They'll come and they'll fix it because of it's actually their printer, you know. So of course I'm not sure if the question is these days is how much printing do they do, and would they be able to could they lease a Kyocera printer for the possible abuse it's going to take, you know, when it comes to the number of sheets that's going to be printing out. And
I have no idea.
Yeah, me neither. You know,
I mean, they're moving into print on demand, but
they've been using print on demand for years, over a decade now. They've been using print on demand instead of sending out to having 1,000 copies printed and have all that outlay. Mm-hmm. They've been printing the only thing they've been ordering in the thousands are the covers. That's the only thing that they don't do themselves. They create the art and so forth, and then they have someone else print out the covers. So, which is
interesting.
They've been doing that for years. As I said, ever since they got back the rights for publishing SFB.
They're doing like counterprinting too.
They're not doing count. My understanding when it comes to counters is they still have to, they do that, they have an outside source doing that, because that's even more difficult, and that requires different machinery versus just a printer, you know.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. I was wondering.
Mm-hmm. Oh, understood.
Interesting.
Agreed. But yeah. Yes, Chris, Gumbo's Attack is going to be the next product. Okay, you haven't been around for a while. No, we wanted X ships. Steve Cole said it's going to be Gumbo's Attack. So that decision was made a few months ago, if I recall correctly. So it should be interesting. Because Chris, you and I already know what some of those cards look like, because DDB already sent them to us. Send them to me. I have them. I will not be posting them to library until sometime after the product is shipped, and I need to discuss that with Steve Cole when he's going to allow me to actually add that to the library. The one thing I still got to do add to the library is, I'm pretty sure I can, I feel pretty confident saying I can post the X-ships, because X-ships, at least some of them, are part of the communique. They've been released as part of the communique, so it's not like they're hidden away someplace. You know, if you want to get a good copy, a good free copy, go to the communiques and grab them from there. But that's one thing Chris, I was doing just since you probably didn't not gonna listen to the news portion, which is getting caught up on some of the ship cards that you sent me a while back. While back. So they've been added to the library. So the FedCom library is better now. I've not processed all of the cards, but I've definitely planned on getting through them in the next couple of weeks. It's just I spent like 5 hours on Monday going through them, so it takes a while. But as I pointed out before, I really do not look forward to is if they ever implement fighters, and with actually that was interesting from Steve Petrick. He said, "Oh well, he pointed out, oh that he didn't get the tactics article for the Caps Lock Double Nickel." It's not on Chris. Actually, it's not on YouTube. It's only on the podcast. I don't add it. That is a interesting idea. I've not actually thought about doing that. And you got a point there. I probably should start adding it to the YouTube video. So but I did add. Who was it? Russ. Russ put a leader onto an intro onto the YouTube video. Some of it was Russ. Some of it was my daughter, who helped me get. I had her actually go in and add sound effects to the, have so that basically it. You see phaser, when the different letters come up, it's like a phaser fire, when they come up. So I thought that looked pretty good, So I added the tough part about adding that is that it's high resolution, super high resolution, video, So I take my video, which is not as high quality. And it has to upscale my whole video to so that it's the same resolution as the other part of the video. So and that video gets pretty darn large too. So previously I could get things all up and done when it comes to posting up the video and so forth in what, 10 minutes? Now it takes me like half an hour total, which is between generating the final video and also uploading the video and having it available on YouTube. In fact, what I do with a YouTube video at this point is actually I start the upload and then I go to bed. So,
Oh.
but yeah. So thanks, Chris, for that idea. That's actually, I think that's an excellent idea. Take the video, extract the audio, and have that as part of the podcast, and have the video portion. Yeah, do it that way, because yeah, if I do it that way, I should be able, much better. Because I was thinking about time wise, I don't want to add too much time into doing the conversion, that kind of thing. So if I extract it from the one small video and then get the audio track from that one small video, I should be good at that point. So should be interesting. Oh well. Any other, I assume you don't have any topic yourself?
Not really.
Okay.
Unless anybody wants to support independent film stuff. It's not really about.
Yes, yeah,
Dave's quiet.
Dave, that reminds me. Thank you, Dave, for reminding me. Which is the if you go to the TalkShoe website, that feed gets the news portion, because what I do is I take the recording, which I currently record on TalkShoe also directly, so that I have a backup in case something happens on my end. Because every once in a while that happens. Every once in a while it's like, ever since they upgraded the website, it has not happened at all. And that's only because of, nothing's happened on my side. But there has been some minor issues where the mic and the whole audio system has gone wacky. But yeah, you know, I still use TalkShoe as kind of a backup for recording. It's not as good quality that when it comes to that, but at least it is an audio version. So I take the one I record locally, I add on to the news portion, and then I delete what they have up there and I replace it with my edited version, which I think is much better, especially since I don't think most people want to listen to the first, around 5 to 10 minutes of the audio, because the first 5 to 10 minutes of the audio is just the pre-show, you know, just chatting with, you know, what's happening with people and so forth. So anyway, I think I have no clue for another topic at this moment in time, why don't we just end it here, have it as a short podcast for this evening?
Hey, yes? I had an idea.
What's your idea, Doug?
Well, it's kind of a simple little idea.
Okay.
What about maybe brainstorming a little bit about something to run for Gamers of Summer, Gamers of Winter? Like special event type. And then it could be a 2-day event. You know, I mean, for instance, I think I told you about a rule set that I'm working on, which I'm not really going to discuss much at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But I was looking at potentially running a multi-day event with that. But if, I don't know, you wanted to run something as a multi-day event, that would be like special. Mm-hmm. Something that's like just not the normal sort of thing that people do in their home game.
Mm-hmm.
Like short campaign thing where, you know, actions of people at different tables will affect what they're doing next.
Mm-hmm.
Now, somebody goes out with a mission, like, for instance, not quite the captain's game kind of thing, and not necessarily, you know, warlord type of thing, but something where you have like a little mini campaign set up that nobody really knows what's going to happen next in.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that for a minute.
Oh, understood.
Think that might be kind of an interesting thing to do over a weekend.
Oh, agreed. The tough part, here's always the gotcha with this, which is, currently, we don't have many FedCom or SFP players, at least, that currently come. Okay?
Right.
So, that makes it hard to just say, okay, well, we'll do this, and I know we have people that actually will come that will play, you know, SFP or FedCom. Now, is it going to be a Field of Dreams kind of thing? Like, we will build it, you build it, and they will come, kind of thing, you know, which...
The thing is, it could also be scaled.
It could be what?
You know, like, for instance, it could be scaled.
Well, scaled, okay.
Like, the more people you have, the more different things you can have them do.
Mm-hmm.
The less people you have, you just scale it down. So... like, for instance, if you took something like the Hydran campaign, the mini campaign they have for Hydrans and F&E in one of the earlier one of the earlier publications where it's like the Hydran Expedition. Do you remember that one? Kind of, sort of?
Yeah, yeah.
It was like a break. I forget if it was like a breakout thing for the Hydrans.
Yeah, the whole idea was the Hydrans were trying to make it to the Federation space.
Right, to make contact with the Federation.
Yep.
And you could have something like that where, you know, the Hydran players have to get to a certain point, have to do certain things to be able to go to the next, you know, hex, the next square, wherever, the next boxed area.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're successful enough times in enough ways, they can get there, and the Klingons are, of course, trying to block them. So, you know, that would be just a thought of something that you might have where you could have it set up as a series of scenarios that two players could do, but if you have four or six players come out, you could break it out into they each get their own thing, sitting far away from each other so they're not actually in contact at the event, and the results from each one of those may drive what has to be done next.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be that specific thing. It could be something like, you know, discovering the rapid transport network for the Andromedan War. And you could have multiple races in a race to, you know, be the first to be able to get in and assault a base or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, you know, it all leads to one large finale, or, you know, they get blocked and they don't get there.
Right. Right.
So, and the Hydrans come, or the Andromedans come out and crush them. I don't know. So it could be anything. It could be like fighting over a specific region of space.
Mm-hmm. So,
you know, you control this area like Warlord or something like that. There could be economic ramifications. They're going to get more stuff to do the next phase of the mini campaign. So, I don't know, it's just a thought, something to sleep on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, understood.
Yeah, you know, I've been pushing for a while. And, you know, just, I would love to see people come out of the woodwork to play SFB or FedCom.
Mm-hmm.
So, there you go.
Yeah, I in my mind, I thought.
You're welcome.
as much as I'm aligning it, I feel like Federation Commander would actually play faster games, I think. Or at the very least, I think Federation Commander, you could have the ability to possibly, this throw a newbie player into a campaign a lot more easily, you know, in Federation Commander versus SFB. SFB, you have to have veterans, like Dave Chang is planning on doing with his get together next year.
Which is a limiting factor. But yes. So yeah, that was basically the thought. I mean, if you wanted to do it at all as FedCon, that's fine.
Hmm?
I mean, it doesn't have to be a new player event. It could be everybody who's interested, who already knows how to play, could do that. And here's the thing, though. If you have people playing those games, having fun with it, other people are going to look at it, and they may ask you for a demo.
Right. Oh, understood. Doug, I totally understand that, and I would love to have it so that we have, you know, Federation Commander players that are within driving distance of Harrisburg come out, you know, for 2 days, you know. You know, obviously maybe I'm not sure if they could actually come stay at a local hotel and stay and do it that way, but I'm I'm not gonna to have that grandiose of a thought, because just with past experience, we only time we rarely had anyone actually stay at a local hotel for Gamers of Winter or Gamers of Summer. I know, other than Barry,
Oh, for
and
Estes.
I mean, for
For
anything.
the SFU universe stuff, absolutely. I understand that.
Yeah, so
But
that's
on the
why.
other hand, it goes back to discussions we had about Origins before, which was, it's the only reason that I went there to that particular convention for basically the first decade or so that I went to that convention. Was just because they had the Gold Hat tournament there. I could play that or the Patrol or other SFB stuff.
Right,
Yeah, because
and
it wasn't really locally available here. So, yeah. And
agreed.
that's a community issue. I mean, if people like to play the game and they want to find more players, get more people involved, kind of need to come out in public and do some of it. Because relying solely on, say, chat boards and whatnot, I don't think that's really cutting it. So that's just my opinion.
Agreed, agreed.
That was my thought.
Oh
So
yeah. Oh, understood.
kind of event. I mean, and it doesn't have to be grand. It could be like a captain's, rotation thing. Winner gets a prize. Could be anything. But I think the more unique the event is, and maybe having an uncertainty factor in it, like that will drive how they do what they do. So there's that. We could talk about that later off the program if you want.
Yeah, well, I
I
understand.
know you want to.
What was it, the campaign I'm thinking of? Oh, jeez. You don't know though, because you don't pay attention to discussion board. Darkstar,
Well,
I think it was Dark
okay.
Star. When's the last time you actually looked at the discussion board?
Oh, it's been ages, so go
Exactly.
for it.
It's like,
Yeah, I mean,
am
it's
I
like,
wrong?
my interest is when you just can't find players in your area, and the place that I used to go to play doesn't have it anymore.
Understood. I totally understand that. But because what you're talking about in my mind anyway, is that basically kind of the Dark Stars, I think it was Dark Stars campaign. The Dark Stars campaign was that you would try to capture different points, in planet or whatever, points of interest, and that was connected to was these warp lines. And you would have encounters that you go, like, oh, you go to this one warp point, and then you go off to another planet, or possibly not even a planet, it could be just an empty space, and then jump on, go to the next warp gate, and go that way, and keep going, and that's the way the campaign worked. And in theory, you could do the same thing in a short campaign, which is the whole idea of, okay, that you start here, and then you can jump to this one spot. Okay, you jump to the one spot. Okay, this is what you encounter, and you have to defeat them, or possibly, defeat them to capture whatever resources that you're gonna need to continue on, and so forth. But the whole idea of the main point I'm trying to make is having a campaign, a short campaign, it can be a short campaign, but the point of it is that you have these different spots, and then You don't know which where you're going to go. If you defeat it and you jump onto the next warp gate and go on to the next system, you don't know where that's going to take you.
Okay.
No.
That sounds great. You want to run it?
Well, I have to think up, you know, how that would all work, especially considering that it have to be a short campaign. That's the key there. It has to be short, so it can't be that big of a campaign. Like a Dark Stars campaign was a huge campaign, which took, I think, a couple of years to complete. You know, most of the encounters they're small encounters. They don't have these huge fleets, but you know, you still have the encounters which you had to fight through and so forth. I still remember the Void War campaign from. I felt sorry for Aaron Staley because of the problem is, you know, the whole idea of his Void War campaign was to generate SFB games from those contacts. But the problem is that with that kind of scenario is that people don't have time to play it all out. So he actually had to create a quick resolution combat system so that, you know, that the campaign could still go on if you didn't have time to actually play out the tactical games, tactical games themselves. So, I can see how that could work. You know, especially whether the campaign that you're either going to have to capture something on a planet that you run into, or and then possibly even, if you want to go through this one warp gate, okay, well, you have another ship guarding that warp gate, okay? What are you going to do? You know, either you can go through that warp gate and defeat him to get past him, or you have to go back to the warp gate you just came through on, you know? So it'll take a bit of work to work on a relatively short and small campaign that can be completed in a couple of days. You know, i.e., with limited play, I'd say around a maximum of 12 hours of play. Because that gives around two or three games a day that you play. And that should give an idea of who wins or whatever, you know. If you want to go campaigns wise, that versus, the more like if you can get multiple players, have them have a defense versus offense, and see if how many people can get to the final showdown. You know, where in the middle you have like a star base with maybe a couple ships and see how many people break through to that final star base that you're trying to defeat, you know, something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It really depends on how many people you can get, you know?
Yeah. That's kind of true.
You know, and
that's the key point.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, the second idea when it comes to, you can defeat, you can do that with a single player, with two people, where one's an offense, one's defense, and then if the defender can't beat the offense, well, the offense if the offense can't beat the defense, then the defense wins because the offense is trying to get to the final. What do they call it? Darn, I'm thinking about video games. What they call them? Big boss, the boss scenario, where you're trying to kill the boss. You know.
Yeah.
So, you know,
Yeah, that final boss.
that
Your final boss. Your boss, your big bad end guy.
you know.
There's all sorts of different ways to say it. Final destination. Stuff. Yes.
Yeah, because if it was just me, I'd love to play the Andromedans, but at the same time, I realized that not everyone likes the Andromedans, likes playing against the Andromedans. Some players actually. I never had anyone refuse. Of course, I never played that many people when I was flying the Andromedans. It's the only time I've ever flied the Andromedans at all. Usually, is in a campaign scenario. Which is interesting because I did that. I think that for Frank, I think it was, and one of the tactics I used, which I've never seen written down at all, which is I you know I th I thought it was I thought it was a really cool idea, which is I had the mothership, and the mothership was dragging the scout. So the scout, which was a little eel, could use all its power to actually do all the electronic warfare stuff, and the mothership, all it has to do is it had to tow it. Now the problem is both the mothership and the eel were both much slower because of its because of you have the eel, which is going speed zero, and then you got the I think it might have been an intruder. It was just a move class one ship, and then you have a two-thirds, so 1 2/3 cost movement as you're dragging along. So you're paying a lot more to move that ship. So, you know, makes things interesting. But you know, it was fun. I think I got pretty beat up on it. Well, the problem was you had Federation and Hydrans together. Really? You know, the whole let the feds punch it, and then you have the Hydrans, you know, then kill it with the Hellbores. That kind of thing. Really fun.
Okay.
Yeah, but anyway, I think we'll end it there then. And maybe I will work on that this week, see if I can work up an idea for a small campaign, and we can actually discuss it again next week.
Okay. Hey, if you want to chat like in between, give me a call
We'll
or
do.
hit me up on Facebook for a good talk.
We'll
Not just for a good time, but yeah. A good time to
do.
talk. There you go. Oh,
Better way.
baby.
Okay.
Oh, baby.
Have a good night.
You too. Have a
So, actually, we got a podcast out. I'm shocked. But you know, I still gonna be improving the client, and also it looks like trying to create a small campaign for the Gamers of Winter, which would be a neat thing to do. Hopefully, we can get some more FedCon people from around the, you know, in Pennsylvania or even in Maryland. Because, come on, Maryland's not that far from Harrisburg, especially if you live around Baltimore. Yeah, I know it's like a two-hour trip, but it's a day trip. It can be done. You know, we can start early, and you'll want to go home by like right after dinner. You know, head home. You know, something like, yeah, for yeah, the 1 hour from Baltimore. Okay, Doug is telling me it's only 1 hour, which would be great. You know, so anyone who lives around Baltimore now, you know, and hopefully we can get some more people out there. Maybe I can try and announce it on the Facebook page and so forth, and see if we can get some local faces. You know, because I would love to meet more Federation Commander players. You know, and if by setting up a campaign, which I will run at Gamers of Winter, I would be happy to do that. and run it. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.